Welcome to the H2H Human Connection Done Right Summit, bringing together forward-thinking leaders who understand that true innovation happens when people, process, and technology work in harmony. Lean into this refreshing, energizing experience designed to inspire you with a new approach to a timeless principle. Our speakers will offer fresh insights that will challenge perspectives and spark new ideas.
Hello, and thank you for joining our summit today. We appreciate it and want to share with you our appreciation for your time today. How many of you have ever gone into or out of a meeting and said, "Holy cow, I don't know what just happened. My manager doesn't know what they're doing. Our leadership needs to provide more structure. Our leaders need to lead more. I need more direction. I want to be good at what I'm doing, and I don't have enough information to do that." Probably a lot of us, unfortunately. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is communicating for comprehension. In workshops that I lead with organizations, with leaders, with teams, even with ICs, one of the very core tenets I talk about with teams is, and invite them into understanding, is communicate and collaborate are verbs. And we're going into that, talking about it, because sometimes we forget that to be great at something requires action. Here's a very humbling example. Years ago, there was a baseball player for the Yankees and hit his home run and broke a record. My daughter, who was younger at the time, asks me, "Mom, why are they cheering?" And I said, "Because he hit a ball." Now, shame on me. And then I thought about it some more and I said, that ball was going probably 90 miles an hour. I couldn't hit anything going 90 miles an hour that small. And with that level of effort and with that greatness behind it. And so I reversed it and I talked to my daughter and I said, actually, what this person just did took a ton of skill that we should think about, because people can feel effort and energy. Effort and energy manifest themselves when our communication actually leads to comprehension. When we are communicating what it takes to have an amazing baseball swing, to achieve that level of greatness that helps us break records in hitting a 90 mile an hour or faster fastball, literally out of the park. That takes skill, and skill requires practice. Skill requires practice, and practice requires structure. And so many times we think, as a leader, perhaps, I don't need to give my team structure. They're going to feel like I'm micromanaging them. And what we want to talk about today is, what is the framework that we have as a leader by which we are delivering a framework for our team that has communication that leads to comprehension? And so I'll share with you, one of the things we talk about in our Revenue by Design executive groups is the difference between accountability and micromanagement. Accountability is setting the standards, and the standards are something that we as a leader and a team get to hold people accountable to. So if one of our standards is we show up on time and prepared, and somebody shows up late and unprepared, we need to take action against it. And there might be a level of action. Maybe the first offense of not meeting our shared standards is you're going to get a pass and you're going to have the quick stand-up talk of, hey, come prepared next time. Maybe the second time it happens, though, is, hey, now we need to kind of have a sit down and talk about it. Help me understand why this isn't working. This is our standard. Help me understand the disconnect. And maybe the third time is that person is not invited to the meeting anymore. And then again, there's a level of, quote unquote, taking care of that miscommunication. And so that is accountability. Micromanagement goes a level further and kind of is more doing for our people and kind of overarching and overreaching some of those things. So what we want to talk about today, to take that down, I am a big believer of frameworks. I think we all need to have them. I think frameworks come from giving ourselves some time to think, giving ourselves some retrospection time. And so I want to give you the framework that I give to all of the Revenue by Design clients. I've done this as a practitioner for the last 15 years. Some of the playbooks and infrastructure I have worked with organizations as a practitioner, as a leader in seat, as a W-2 employee, are literally still in place today. I share that with you not to toot my own horn, but to share with you the fact that frameworks are very powerful, and when done appropriately, allow you to be interchangeable in maybe the products or the different go-to-market strategies, or their different ways to communicate with clients come into play. The framework is still the same. Okay, it's kind of like shoes. Our feet are literally the framework, as silly as that may sound. But my shoes are something that are interchangeable. The lines on the road, the analogy I give to clients and in speaking about this is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how effective are the lines on your road? And answer that question for you right now if you're hearing this. Just take a second and think about that. And if your answer is anything less than 8, I encourage you to think about your framework. Because the lines on the road allow us to be agile. Companies and leaders who say, we're agile, I go, great, show me your process. And there's this look on their face, like, I don't need process, we're agile. But agile isn't a bunch of people running around super fast, bumping into each other. That is not agility. Agility is when you actually have lines on the road, you know your moves, you know your plays, that you can go quicker. Agility is lines on the road that allow you to, and rules of the road that allow you to not make the left-hand turn even when you have the green, because clearly the car coming at you isn't slowing down for their red light. That is agility. Agility is, oh, I hear sirens. I know what I need to do with my lines on the road. So what we're going to dive into, and I'm going to talk with you about very quickly and separated into two parts, are the 7 building blocks that we need to have in our framework to be really successful. And we're going to talk about the 5 leadership building blocks that we need to have to be even more successful. The world needs more effective leaders and leadership. And if you've heard some of the other talks today and some of our other speakers, these all go hat in hand. We cannot be successful without people. We cannot be successful without process. And in today's day and age, we're probably more successful if we've got the right technology in place. So the 7 building blocks that we want to have from our structural component, and we think about communicating for comprehension, is our team's goals. And for those of us that are sales, sometimes it's our quota, but our goals are bigger than our quota. Our goals live in service of the direction of the company, the goals of the company, the goals of our clients. So when we think about goals for our team, we want to incorporate and encompass a 360 degree view, meaning, yes, my team is going to have a quota. If I'm on marketing or CS, I'm going to have that desired outcome. We also don't want to think about it from our client's perspective. What are my client's goals? So I want you encourage you to think on a scale of 1 to 10 for all of these, how well are these building blocks understood and implemented, which will drive communication for comprehension? Because again, I may achieve a goal and achieve my revenue, but if I've literally brought a deal across the line that my CS team is like, why did you do this? You sold something we don't even do. We're not in service of the comprehensive goals. We need to be able to think bigger. We live in a complex world. We have complex organizations. This is the next level thinking of playing chess, not checkers. We also want to think about a purpose. One of the questions I ask organizations when we come to this section of a workshop, which is defining purpose, is what is your company's mission statement? And literally 99.99% of the time, people don't know what it is, even leaders in the room. Whether they're taken aback by that question or they really don't know. And what we want to think about is having our company purpose statement, our mission statement. We also then want to have a team purpose statement. And again, the purpose of the team is not to make revenue. That is a desired outcome. The purpose is in service of our goals and serving our clients and each other. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how well is your team's purpose known by everyone on the team? We want to think about effective onboarding and everboarding. Everboarding is part of the whole continual learning continuum and doesn't stop. So are we measuring our onboarding? Is it effective? How do we know? Have we defined success for onboarding? These are the basic building blocks. Are we incorporating every way we can using adult learning theory, organization development? There's so many tools out there now to make our onboarding effective. And onboarding is not only new employees. Onboarding can be new employees, new products, new clients. There's so many. Anytime something is new, we can employ really great standards for onboarding. And then, of course, everboarding. One of the things we do with our clients and we talk with them about is having a shared calendar. And it's an evergreen calendar where there are monthly themes throughout the organization. And each week we are working on a specific skill for each individual team based upon their goals, metrics, and KPIs. It brings a really great sense of unity for everybody that allows for comprehension. Hey, everybody, every team right now is working on discovery. Fantastic. We know what the goal is. We know what the purpose is. We know what we're looking for as we continue to coach into our fifth pillar, which is our Sales Leadership 101. As a leader, it is our responsibility to put these lines on the road. And do we know ourselves as a leader? And if we don't, what do we need to do to know ourselves? Have we set standards for our team? Do we have a leader playbook? Again, on a scale of 1 to 10, how well are we doing these things as a leader? Being a leader is more than showing up and issuing a bunch of orders. We know that's not effective. Sometimes it is, and sometimes we need to. But more often than not, it's really about creating an environment for our team where we are bringing people along for the journey. And understanding ourselves as a leader is a great way to do that. Coaching and motivating our teams. And I heard this said one time that I shouldn't have to motivate my reps. And there's a part of that that's true. However, as my very good friend Matt Millen talks about, it is our role and responsibility as a leader to create a motivating environment. So if we've got an environment where people are like, I don't want to talk to you, there's no value, I don't understand, we really haven't done a good job of communicating for comprehension and sharing and talking about what does good look like in order to create a coaching and motivating environment. And quite frankly, it goes back to how well defined is our purpose and how well defined are our goals. So on a scale of 1 to 10, ask yourself, how is your environment? Is it motivating or is it demotivating? And quite frankly, right now, there's a distinction that I also want to call everybody to. There's a lot going on in our world, and there's a difference between being exhausted and being depleted. Back to 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 back Zoom meetings depletes everyone. Creating an environment where you have margin and allow margin in people's schedules for thinking time, process time, things of that nature, which again ties to understanding the goals. So we're not running around obeying the tyranny of the urgent, will help create that motivating environment. And the giveaway that we have for everybody, this last one, I can tell when anybody is ever reading this, this benchmarking exercise, because the reporting section says the very first sentence, for the love of God, please, by all that is holy, do not measure everything. Because what happens is when we have a dashboard that's 20 widgets, that is a report, not a dashboard. So what we talk about is understanding what are our three KPIs. One, lagging, which is revenue. It's always a lagging indicator. And two, leading indicators. Everything else is a metric. Because it goes back to being able to coach and motivate our reps. And if we want our reps to self-coach, they need to know what to look for. There needs to be this cyclical carousel motion of, I know what our goals are. I know what campaigns I'm running. I know what initiatives we have. I understand who's at my table and the handoffs and handshakes between who is doing what and what I need to do to be successful as a collective. And that's where really effective reporting comes in. And we want to think about that from an L1, L2, L3. There's always going to be the 50,000 foot. There's going to be the upper management layer, and there's going to be the IC layer. And I encourage you to think through those components. So those are our building blocks. So as you go through that, again, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are these things in your organization, and how effective are they in your organization? Things to keep in mind. And then the next thing we want to think about is our five building blocks of effective leadership. There's a difference between efficiency and effectiveness, and we need to really understand that now in order to protect our time. And we need to think about, the first thing we want to think about is, what is my leadership style? One of the activities that we have everybody do, including our leaders, and most especially our leaders, is, what are the three words you're known for? Carla Harris is an amazing keynote speaker. She wrote a couple of different books, one of them being Strategize to Win. And in listening to her keynote, which is one of the most impactful and powerful keynotes I've ever heard, she talks about, pick three words to describe yourself and walk the walk and talk the talk. Internalize those words. Tell them, share them, and live them out. With that, we want our own tribe. We need our advisory team. Your advisory team is the one who's going to tell you the truth. So maybe if you pick those three words and you run it by your advisory team and they say, I don't think so. Think again, get feedback, know thyself. We want to have perspective. We need to have our own perspective is the second thing. We want to have perspective for our teams, which goes to our goals, which goes to our purpose, which goes to clarity and a clear path. We want to have a functioning system, which are the seven core pillars we just spoke about previously, the building blocks of our team and our system. These allow us to communicate for comprehension because we've set standards. Our expectations, if you will, of what are our goals, what's our purpose, why are we here, how do we do it effectively? We want to have self-awareness as a leader. Know thyself. Because maybe somebody on my team has a problem that I'm not going to be the best person to help solve, but somebody else is. Then, by all means, it is our responsibility to say, wow, that's really interesting. I don't think I'm the best person to address that. However, I can absolutely connect you with somebody who is on our team. That level of self-awareness helps us to clear away the roadblocks for our team, which, quite frankly, is the number one responsibility of a leader, is to remove roadblocks for our team. We must be great at what we do in order to make our team great. That's something we need to keep in mind, because nothing happens by accident and nothing good grows in the dark except BS and mushrooms. And if you like mushrooms, that's great. Most of us have a pretty low BS monitor and threshold. So, in order to really, really prop our teams up to be great, we must have a high level of self-awareness. One of the other activities we have people do at a high level is kind of write their user guide. And these motions and these exercises go into that user guide. And a lot of times it fits on a little 3x5 card or a 4x6 piece of paper. And it talks about, what are your three words? If you're a DISC organization, you might put your DISC profile. It talks about what works well for you. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? If you use StrengthFinders, all of these things are great and gets to people seeing each other, knowing who's at your table. Not everybody's going to be good at everything, and we shouldn't be. We should be good at the things that we were designed for, so that we can be of service to others and know how and when and who to go to for help, or how to be a help to others in a way they need it. The last pillar of the five when we think about communicating for comprehension with our teams is the ability to use and harness resources within an organization. Unfortunately, too many times we've come across leaders that are not open to change. Maybe they have a closed mindset for whatever reason, and it's unfortunate. And that person, that leader, is inhibiting growth of an organization. This is the person who says, "We've always done it this way." Ouch. Now, the beauty of it is maybe that person is coachable and they can be coached into having an open mind. Sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes it is. And it's for us as leaders to know who's at my table and what are our initiatives. So again, we're in this really complex environment. AI, technology, the rate of change is fast, no question. When we have a system, though, whether it's these 12 pillars or more or different ones, it's about having a system. This is simply a framework for everybody to start from. When we have a system like this, we can say, what are our resources? And how can I use them more effectively? The analogy, the story I always share is back in the days of the space race, the United States spent a lot of money on trying to figure out how to create a pen that would write in space. Unfortunately, I don't know if that ever happened. I need to do my research and see if that initiative ever came to fruition. Meanwhile, the Russians, our counterpart in the space race, used a pencil. So I share that story because sometimes if you're pushing on something and you're feeling resistance, and you're like, man, this isn't working. We can train ourselves to go, am I trying to create a pen that writes in space? Or can I just take a pause and take a step back and use a pencil? Sometimes we're trying to force the proverbial round peg into, or a square peg into a round hole. So I encourage you to go through these seven components on a scale of 1 to 10. Are they in place today? And if so, how effective are they? For you as a leader, I encourage you to get an objective outside third-party opinion. Then I encourage you, step two is stack rank the findings. And as you stack rank them, you will find out where you should start and what you should take action against. Because at the end of the day, communication for comprehension is what we're after. A lot of organizations get the what, and we as humans have a capacity to consume a lot of what. What our brains try to figure out is the how and the why. So when we are communicating for comprehension, in addition to looking at these 12 things, I encourage you, at the very basic, think about, is my communication including the what, the why, the how, and the bonus is when? Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us in today's forward-thinking session of Human Connection Done Right. As we transition to our next expert speaker, remember that together we are redefining the future. To stay engaged and informed, visit revenue-bydesign.com, where together we will be deliberate, be intentional, and be successful.